The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, by now you've opened up most, if not all, of your Christmas presents. Did you get anything today that's going to change your life? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe it's just too early to tell. There are some gifts that we receive that, well, we didn't know it at the time, it changed our life. Maybe it was the first ball you were given as a little child that started your obsession with sports. Or something like a camera that started off your hobby or maybe even your profession as a photographer. Then there's other gifts that when we give them or receive them, we know that it changes things. We just got a dog for the kids a few months ago, and in a way, our lives haven't been the same since. Or maybe if some parents would give a car to their daughter when she turns 16. That changes everything. And then there is another group of gifts that changes things in a completely different way. The cancer patient who finally gets a bone marrow transplant. Or the person with a bad heart who receives a new one. Those gifts change lives. They save lives. And the same thing can be said about the ultimate gift. The gift that God gives us this morning. The gift of His one and only Son. Now today in our service, we have seen all the prophecies that God gave concerning the birth of His Son Jesus. Well, that He would be born of a virgin in the town of Bethlehem, a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and more of God's children. We saw that He would be born in sorrow because He had to flee for His life as many His own age would be killed, and He went to Egypt. All those prophecies fulfilled. That's God's gift to us, His own Son. Born of a virgin in a barn, praised by the angels, worshipped by the shepherds, and yet there weren't too many people who would have thought that that was a major event in the course of history. No one really would have thought twice about that. It just seems as if it's a boy born to a lowly virgin in unfortunate circumstances. No one would think that that little event, that little gift would change the world. And yet it did. Christ fulfilled all of those prophecies. And not just the prophecies about Jesus being born, but all the other prophecies concerning Jesus. And that changed things. In the past, God spoke through the prophets. But now God no longer speaks through the prophets. He speaks to us in Christ. We don't need God to speak through prophets anymore. We don't expect any other revelation from the Lord. Everything we need to know about God, we see from Christ. We want to see the love of God. Well, we look at the love that He gave to us in sending His one and only Son. We want to see His grace. Well, Jesus saving us from our sins by His death on the cross. We want to see His mercy, Jesus not treating us as our sins deserve, but taking our sins upon Himself and giving us His perfect life. We want to see God's power. We see Jesus withstanding the temptations of Satan in the wilderness of Judea. We see Jesus rising from the dead and crushing Satan's head. We want to know God's wisdom. We look at the teachings of Christ. Everything we know about God, we see in Christ. And it's also in the Word of Christ that we learn about just who Jesus is and what He would do to save us. Now, I'll admit that this text for today kind of seems a little strange to be preaching on a text like this, because it doesn't explicitly talk about Jesus' birth. Strange to be talking about this on Christmas Day. But really, the first 9 verses of this letter to the Hebrews is the second lesson for all 3 years of the pericope that we follow, for all 3 years for Christmas Day. It is a normal first lesson. And why is that? Because it shows us exactly who Jesus is. Luther once said that the two natures of Christ are rarely taught with as much clarity and detail as they are in this section of Scripture. That Jesus is both true God and true man, and that's why this section of Scripture gives us so much comfort and encouragement on Christmas. Let's look at that detail and clarity that Luther is talking about, focusing on the second and third verse of our text. There's one phrase that alludes to how Jesus is true man. He says Christ was appointed heir of all things. Now, as man, Jesus did not have all things belong to Him. They needed to be given to Him. So when after He saved us, did everything needed to be done to redeem us, He ascended to heaven and was given all things as the heir of God. All the other phrases that the writer to the Hebrews mentions really refer to how Jesus is true God. The first is that through Jesus, God made the universe. Jesus was the intermediate agent through whom God created the world. Now, that means that Jesus existed at the time of creation. That means that there was never a time that Jesus did not exist. Jesus, the pre-incarnate Son of God, that is, was present and active at the creation of the world. Secondly, we read that Jesus, the Son, is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus possesses the glory of God Himself. He shines and radiates that glory. Think of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when He shined brightly that the disciples couldn't even look at Him, giving us a glimpse of His divine glory. Third, He is the exact representation of His, that's God's, being. Jesus just isn't a reflection of God's being. He's not a mirage or an image of God. He is the absolutely authentic representation of God's essence. Fourth, He sustains all things by His powerful word. No man can say words and have them come true, but Jesus, as God, is able to say anything and control His entire creation. And lastly, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. From His throne in heaven, Jesus controls all things and rules over all things as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All these show us that Jesus is true God and true man at the same time. Now, if you're following along with the text, you would have noticed that I skipped one phrase. And when I read it, you may not have even thought again, secondly about it. It kind of sneaks in there that we almost pass over. But really, it is the heart and soul of the Christian teaching. It's the whole reason for Christmas. That one phrase. After he had provided purification for sins. Of course, it refers to how Jesus purified us, how he made us holy, how he took away our sins and made us pure and right. And we all need to be purified from our sins. We are born with stained hands, stained red with the blood of sin. We are conceived and born into darkened hearts who neither knew God nor cared to know God. We are hostile to him, and we could not obey his law perfectly. Living in the unbelief and the darkness of sin. And so Jesus came and purified us. And not that Jesus made us completely pure. I mean, we are still sinners. He didn't make our thoughts perfect. Our will is not completely in line with God's. We still do many things wrong, so he didn't make us pure, and yet he still made us pure. He still purified us. He cleansed us from our sins. By his sacrifice on the cross, he removed the guilt of all our sins. He paid their eternal condemnation. He makes us pure and holy in the eyes of God because his perfect life is now our perfect life. So even though we're still sinners, God declares us pure and innocent because we have been washed by the blood of Christ. John says in his first letter, "The blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." And in order for Jesus to do this, in order for Jesus to purify us from all sins, he needs to be true man and true God at the same time. That's why he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Born not like us, pure and innocent, true God and true man. True man, true God. As true man, he was born under the law and had to obey that law. But as true God, he was able to keep that law perfectly. As true man, he was able to die. But we read that no man can redeem the life of another, so as true God, his death has been able to be credited to us. He was able to offer himself as a sacrifice in our place. And by his victory over death, by his resurrection, we too are victorious over death. As God and man, he served as our substitute, taking our sins upon himself, suffering our eternal condemnation so that he could give us the victory over our enemies. As both God and man, Jesus purified us from our sins. And not just some sins, but he purifies us from all sins. There is no salvation without Christmas. There is no forgiveness of sins without the virgin birth. There is no eternal life without Jesus being conceived by the Holy Spirit. But because Christ is true God and true man who came down from heaven in order to purify us, we know that we are purified, that we stand as innocent, and we are confident before God that we will live with him forever. That's the gift that God gives us today. And it changes everything. And not just in the sense that now God no longer prophesies about Christ because Christ has come. Not in the sense that it divides history from before Christ and after Christ. No, this changes everything because it changes the course of where the world is going. No longer on our way to hell, because Christ has paid for our sins. All who believe in him are on their way to eternal life. It changes your life. Even though this gift was given 2,000 years ago, it is the greatest gift you have ever received because it gives you a life-changing event. You will live with him in heaven forever. Just think. of all the prophecies that God made about Jesus' birth. He fulfilled them all. Just think about all the prophecy made about Jesus himself and about his suffering and death. Again, fulfilled in Christ. The entire scriptures testify about him. Promises made and promises kept. Jesus is true God and true man, the Lord of Lords, our Savior, who purifies us from all sin. As we celebrate the birth of our Savior, as we celebrate God becoming man, let us not forget why God became man in the first place. To purify us from all sin. And as we see that he keeps his promises, we also know that he promises to take us to live with him in heaven forever. Another promise made. And in Christ, another promise kept. Amen. Please stand. Now to him who gave up the glories and riches of heaven to become poor like one of us, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. To him, Jesus Christ, be glory and praise, now and forever. Amen.